This episode is brought to you by Slapwoods.
Donnie Houston.
Yeah, man, it's going down. This is Donnie Houston Podcast. I am Donnie Houston. Check it out, man. We got a very special guest. Today's guest has been putting it down, man, around the city, just doing his thing, man, whether it be with the music, whether it be with videos, you know what I'm saying? Just having his hands in different types of things, man, and just really holding it down, representing for that North Side, man. And he got a new album out right now, Streets Is Mine, you know what I'm saying? It's DJ Young Sam. What's going down, baby?
Man, cool. Promoting his album, finally got it out.
Already.
Getting a lot of good feedback.
Yeah, already, man. Already. So, man, let's talk about it, man. You got the album out. What kind of got you to want to put the album together and everything? I know you've been talking about it for a while, you know,
man,
what I mean?
It's pretty much like an album I just been putting together for probably about 3 years with a bunch of artists in the city. I pretty much got personal relationships with everybody, so I just been working on these records, getting verses over the years, and just put it together. I kind of wanted to do the same thing that I would say Khaled is doing, but I know OG Run, C-Nim, and Michael Watts with The Day Hell Broke Loose and all that, Southern's Finest. So that's pretty much where the idea came from, just being that DJ and putting all the artists together. But I'm doing it different when it comes to like how they doing it, because I did all the beats on it. I mixed it. D-Bots mastered it. So I pretty much put the whole project together, was hands-on with everything as far as picking the artists and creating the hooks and everything.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. So what's the... What would you say would be probably like the single, you know what I'm saying, from the record?
The single is Jungle.
Jungle,
that's
yeah.
That's the first record that I put out. Yeah. Jungle is the single. And then right now everybody loving the intro with J-Dog. So that's the next one that we feel to pretty much push as a single. And that we got the video coming out.
Already, yeah. And that one with Marcus Clay is hard too. It ain't really, it's more him spitting. It ain't like a single type record.
Yeah,
but that's
hard though. But we got to shoot a video to that one too, because he really went in on it.
Yeah, man. So, man, I mean... It's crazy that you're here, because it's been a few episodes where I just be like, that's DJ Young Sam's dad, man. Where somebody be like, yeah, this guy Romeo Poet, you know what I mean? Talk about that, man, you know what I'm saying, with your dad just having his background in music, you know what I mean, and the influence that may have had on you.
Man, he pretty much started me at the age of 7. I was rapping first, and I used to be seeing him back in the days. He used to be a part of the Southern Funk Players, and that was with Big 50 and I think at the time ESG was in jail, but he was like doing records with ESG and all them different guys. And they had a record called Player Haters. It used to be coming on straight from the streets.
Hold on, wait, what year is this?
This is like, man, I want to say.
This is before Swangin' and Bangin' ESG?
This is after Swangin' and Bangin'. This is like, I want to say 94, 95, around that time. And they had a song called Player Haters. It was a record company called Ball Down Records. And he was signed with them, but even before that, he used to be at the Rhinestone Wrangler with Willie D. And him and Willie D used to do the freestyle battle with the Royal Flush and all those guys. So that's pretty much his way into the game with the freestyle battle. And then he later just started creating his own music and got down with the Southern Funk Players. And from there, he wrote me a rap at the age of 7. My first rap was called The Sugar Daddy. I was talking about giving candy to the girls on the playground. And just from there, I pretty much just started doing my music on my own. And he was, you know, he kind of like got out the game. So from me doing my own thing, I started running into people like Willie D and all these other OGs. And when it came out that, hey, my dad is Romeo Poet, they're like, damn, we didn't even know that. That's crazy. So yeah, he pretty much got a good name in the streets. Like he was on a couple of documentaries and everything.
Yeah, on the Netflix joint.
Yeah.
So, did you see your old man like when he was trying to come up in the rap thing and all that? Do you remember that as a kid seeing that?
I seen it a little bit. Like he took me to the studio a lot of times. I heard his album that he was working on, but I kind of wasn't really just on the scene like that. Like he was pretty much gone a lot. He would be on the scene rapping, working. So I barely got to be around it like that. Like I probably went to the studio probably once or twice with him. But then I went when he put me on to do my own song. But I didn't really just get to see that side of it.
Yeah, so when did it become like more of a serious thing for you? Where you was like, man, you know what? I'm gonna do this music thing too.
I've always been serious about it since the age of 7.
So like, since that rap, that's when you was like, that's what you want to do.
I was gonna be a rapper. Or I was gonna do something with music. Like, that was my only thing. I burned all bridges and said this was gonna be my career.
At 7, no shit.
Yeah.
So okay, you start rapping, and then I mean, do you start doing like groups, or like what are you doing after you do this rap? Like how do you, what's like the?
I mean, I started off rapping by myself first, and then I end up doing a freestyle battle in Trinity Garden, and I got kind of discovered by my homie T-City Promo, and matter of fact, DJ 2Deep, I think he was the one that took me up there or something. I can't really remember, but he took me to a freestyle battle, and I ended up winning. I think I was probably like 11 or 12 or something like that, and a dude by the name of AD, the last one, he ended up taking me up under his wing, taking me into the little Swisher House studio. I'm doing freestyles with them, with Archie Lee, and I got the linking up with them, and from there I ended up starting my own group called The Young and Reckless, and this was like me and a couple guys that I went to school with, and from there it went to AAA All-American Assholes, and this was when we really started taking it serious, because All-American Assholes already had a name for themselves, so I linked up with them. This is pretty much my cousins, and this is Lil Boom.
And all these guys, this is all on the north side? Like, what side of the north?
All north side. All north side groups. So this is right around the time when Freestyle Kings was out, and Swisher House and all that. So we kind of had our own little movement, All-American Assholes. And they right there, they started out at Nimitz. And I ended up, they heard about me doing graphics and all this different type of stuff.
So what school you at up there at Nimitz?
I was at Booker T.
At Booker T, okay.
Yeah. So when we did that, we just linked up and put it all together. And for you know, we was making noise on the north, just being AAA All-American Assholes. And from there, it went to me branching off, me and Lil Boom branching off. And then we started Return of the Garden with DJ 2Deep, to where we had a record called Trinity Garden Drop, which started being on the radio and all kinds of shit like that. And from there, I just kept evolving or whatever. Like, I done went from group to group. I done been with so many different crews, just OGs around the city. Like, everybody would just gravitate to me because at the time I was so young, and you never really heard a youngster freestyling like I did back in the day. So it just happened like that.
So you said something about, mentioned about doing the graphics. I mean, you always kind of had your hands in different things. Like, when do you start doing graphics, and is that the only other thing you're doing at that time? Or like, when do you get into?
At the time, yeah, graphics was the only thing I was doing, but I was kind of dibbing and dabbing in graphics, because it's like when I first started like really taking a rap serious and doing stuff, I couldn't afford to get graphics done, couldn't afford to do a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
so I had to learn how to do it myself. And then I even was dibbing and dabbing in DJing also, because I started out trying to get Michael Watts to do my mixtape. So I'm like in middle school, and I think Watts was talking about $10 a song, and I was like, I got way more than 10 songs, like $100 or something. Like, my partner ended up, I think he went to a studio or something and seen them chopping or something. Brought it back to me, man, I seen them chopping. They was doing something. They had one record over here. I sat at home, learned it, figured it out. So where I was chopping my own CDs, doing my own graphics. I started off just, I was editing Agony Life videos at one point in time. He had these documentary series he was doing. So I started off editing, and then from editing, I went to doing videos and shooting my own. So it's kind of like I just picked it all up.
Okay, so when did you get into the editing, the videos now? Like, this is all in high school? And
all this is in high school.
No shit.
Yeah, everything was in high school. Like, it all just kind of happened right together, because I went from fooling with the graphics and then just saying, okay, graphics do this. Now we got Sony Vegas, and let me try to see how I can edit some videos.
You want to say Sony Vegas? Damn, yeah.
So I started off on it. And then from Sony Vegas, it went to being on Premiere, and it's just been evolving.
So when do you start actually shooting videos?
Like, I started shooting videos. I started shooting videos for AAA. That was probably around, I want to say, what, 2000, something like that. Yeah, probably 2005 or something like that, I probably started shooting them. But I was already editing them, because Agony Life used to shoot them for us. So first we had Agony Life shoot the videos, and then I edit them. But then I end up getting my hands on my own camera and just play with it a little bit and end up figuring it out.
Let's talk about the Slap Woods, man.
Man, Slap Woods, man. If you haven't tried Slap Woods, you need to try some Slap Woods, man. Get rid of them backwoods and try you some Slap Woods, man. Did you open that pack?
That's why I'm up right there.
Man. Man, I'm gonna show you what they look like, man. If y'all smoke backwoods, that's all cool, but you're gonna do a lot of work and you're gonna waste a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? If you wanna just get straight to it, you need to get you a slap wood, man. And that, that is in stores all around Houston, Florida. Man, I ain't got no nails, boy. This is bad. Got some out in California, Oklahoma. What they are is premium cones. Premium cones with a filter on it. So all you gotta do is stuff it. Bam, you take the paper out, you put your tree in there, and you got the perfect wood with a filter, you know what I'm saying? And you got the stuffing stick in it, it's biodegradable, you know what I'm saying? You really can't lose on it, you know what I'm saying? But one thing for sure, it ain't for nobody that only smoke a little bit of weed or something like that, man. You gotta make sure you have enough tree. If you trying to roll a pen joint or something like that, you gonna have to use something else. But if you a big smoker, a big chiefer, Slapwoods is your friend, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, for sure. I appreciate that plug like a motherfucker.
So then, okay, so you say 2005. See, that's probably around the time I think I probably started hearing you, because then that's when I was started messing with Criticab, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
telling Criticab. Me like, man, this dude on the north side, man, he be doing like you, DJ, he do this and that, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like his name, Young Sam, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
man. And I remember that was probably like 05, 06, 07, somewhere up in there.
Yeah, and that was right around the time when I was linked up with DJ Chill.
With DJ Chill, when Chill had the spot over there on Griggs.
Yeah, it was me and Chill's spot. As a matter of fact, that was 2005 because I graduated 05. I was staying at Chill House in 2004. Like just going out there on the weekends every time after school. And then once I graduated, I started actually staying at Chill House like during the week and everything. And that's when I started picking up different graphic gigs. Like I was dealing with people like Peter Roll, Showtime. And it was like my loyal customers to where just practicing on them made me better with graphics. And then I started doing their videos and just doing everything for them. So that's how I ended up getting better with everything.
Hmm. So then, I would say from that, when did you start linking up with Slim and all that?
I linked up with Slim like 2009. That was after first Killer discovered me at Chill Store. I was working with a girl named Kanika, and Killer liked Kanika music, so he ended up wanting to do some records with her, which introduced him to me. And then from there, me and Killer started linking up. We took over Chill Store, and Chill stopped doing the store, and we had a studio in there. And then from there, he took me to Boss Hog around 2009. I was just doing mixtapes for him, doing all the Boss Hog mixtapes. And then later on, you know, I would see Slim there, but me and Slim wasn't really just cool like that. He didn't really know me like that. I was just the mixtape DJ, that was it. And then what was it like, I want to say like a year or two after that, he ended up going on the Live from the Underground tour, and I ended up being Slim tour DJ. And that's how I actually started really getting cool with Slim, because we was with each other every day then, and right around that time.
Yeah, yeah. So then, is that around the time when you start when you start doing Break Them Boys Off and all that?
Break Them Boys Off has always been around since I met Chill. Like back in 2004, I started Break Them Boys Off.
Hmm.
So I've been repping it for the longest, but it's just going through different crews or whatever. Kind of just played the back burner, but it was always what I wanted to build up.
Yeah. Do you have a preference or something? Like, because I mean, to say, because it's like me, you know, you do multiple things. Now I got favorites, you know what I'm saying? Do you have a favorite out of like anything you do? You say, well, shit, if I had to choose one, this is what I'm gonna hang my hat on to say, shit, I'd just be cool doing this.
Producing and making music is what I really want to do. Like, that's really what my focus is. Everything else just pay the bills, pretty much. So it's like, I like making videos, but I like doing videos that I want to do. I like doing movies. I like the whole writing aspect of it as well, but my main thing would be to just do production.
Talk about that with the movies, man, and working with Monty and all that, man, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Man, that movie.
Because y'all done covered a lot of ground together, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That movie, man, it took us about, 2-3 years to get it done, but it was actually a good experience or whatever. I learned a lot from creating that movie, from just being on set. Like, we get on set for like 7 a.m. in the morning and don't be off set to 2 o'clock in the morning. So we had like long days shooting it, but we actually figured it out and got this movie how it needed to be. And working with Monty, you know, it's like, this is my homeboy. He was rapping first. He was a part of AAA.
No shit.
Yes. So I met him through AAA first. And he used to be the guy, like, let's just say we'll go to a talent show and fit to do our show or whatever. Let's just say some guys going before us. He'll be the guy to go walk in the front of the stage while the dude's rapping. He'd be, doing like this. They could be whack or whatever, but he gonna make them feel like they doing good, but he being funny, but they don't know. And we just knew that he was just a goofy guy. Like, he liked to make jokes all the time. So just one day we was chilling at the crib and like, man, you should try to do comedy or whatever. So we just started off with the comedy sketches. So we did something like, Dave Chappelle used to do the Dave Chappelle show. So it was the Dat Damn Munchie show. And I would have him on, he had his own little theme song and everything. So we came up with these different little scenarios for different little comedy sketches. So it kind of reminded you of In Living Color also. Mm-hmm. And that's how he started off. And then, you know, later he ended up doing his first comedy show. And from doing his first comedy show, he ended up doing what? I think he did like 4 headline comedy shows where he brought his own crowd. So yeah, he just took off from there and he's still moving right now.
Yeah. Man, talk about just the North Side's kind of underground scene, man, because you always kind of been tapped in with them, man. Like, just talk about what's going on over there right now, you know what I mean? Man,
right now we got a lot going on. Like, we got OTB Fast Lane, we got Young Martez. Man, it's so many of them, man. It's so hard to just count them out. Who else? Jay Stead. We got I can't even think of it. It's just so much. But the North Side, it's pretty much like family over there. Like, we all pretty much grew up around each other from the whole Acres Home, the Fifth Ward, the Trinity Garden, the Studiowoods. So a lot of rappers came around that way. So we all been seeing each other just growing up. Some of us have even been plexing with each other. You know what I'm saying? So like, even like, let's just say like Fast Lane crew, Titwell was in beef with my crew, AAA. That's before I even was with AAA. So it's like, we all pretty much know each other. We all pretty much been around each other. But the North Side right now, I feel like they heating up. I feel like it's just a whole new wave, kind of like what Slim and Paul and them did back in the days. But now you got the youngsters doing it. And I feel like they're a little bit more, got more brotherly love than back in the days. Cause back in the day, it's kind of like with separate cliques, but everybody around here, like, they all just more so family and just hanging with each other all the time, pretty much.
Who's, that's crazy you said that. So who would you say is probably like the next one? Cause I mean, Fastlane, I'm pretty sure if you're into music, you know what I'm saying, you know Fastlane, but who's like the next person you would say to look out for that's coming out the North Side?
At the North Side, man, who else? Man, it's kind of hard to say right now. It's so many of them. I would just say Houston, period. Because you got Lil Jeremy, you got the females, where you got the Kendall Man, you got Martina, which she's not from the Houston, but she repping H-Town. This is where she pretty much getting her started as far as fame. Who else? You got Dirty Cash. He a Northside guy. He on a lot of records with me. Like, I got so many records with him. You got another new artist, Dreek. It's a female artist on the north. She been doing her thing. A lot of people been tapping into her. Who else, man? You got Marcus Clay. Is another dope artist right now that's making a lot of noise. So all of them is on my album, really. All the underdogs, I got them all on the album.
Yeah. What's some of the things you would say that really like influenced you? You know what I mean? Like, as far as from Houston, musically. You know what I mean? Make you do what you want to do.
Really watching Slim Thug, watching OG Run C, Michael Watts.
And how close was that? How close were you to seeing that, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, we would hear it, you know what I mean? But, like, how close were you to being on the North Side as far as, like, seeing them around and, like, their movement and the impact of it in y'all area and shit?
I seen Slim every move. Like, I seen every move he made. He stayed coming through the hood. He used to be at the All-Star. He used to be everywhere, like, on and off. Like, even from him, when him putting the bullhorns on the car, like, we seen that coming through the house that he was mainly living in, the Laura Oaks. Everybody knew where he lived at because he been that same guy. He's always been through the hood. We see him at the car wash chilling. So I pretty much watched him just grow to be who he is right now. So yeah, he one of the main ones. Who else? I didn't seen OG Run C a lot. I seen Watts a lot. So yeah, I done watched them all pretty much evolve, but mainly like Slim was a main influence because just the whole thing of having a crew of solid people, whatever, from having Killer Kylie on, the Chris Ward, PJ, J-Dog. So just watching that movement, I kind of like, you know, say, okay, I'm going to get my own crew and we're going to be these type of guys and have our own crew and, you know, put my people on. So yeah, I definitely watched them, what they do, and got a lot of game from Rayface. So yeah.
Who would you say, what's the top five H-Town albums to you?
Top five H-Town albums. I gotta say Fat Pack, Ghetto Dreams.
That's number one?
I ain't gonna say no certain order, but that's, okay, just, that's one okay, of my favorites. All right, all right. Lil Kiki, Don't Mess With Texas. Slim, he got a couple of them, but I would have to go with Already Platinum. Because when Already Platinum came out, even the leaked version, like when that came out,
oh,
like,
leaked version. Yeah,
the North was going crazy for that CD. Like we kept that in the deck, and that's three. Who else is something that I jam a lot? I know it's the Kiki, Fat Pat, Slim, Pokey, Dope Game 2000. We jammed that a whole lot.
There you go.
And then a lot of stuff too is mixtapes. Like I used to jam a lot of Charlie Boy and Tyke. So the best of Charlie Boy and Tyke.
Bro, yes.
I just got through listening to it on the way over here.
Yeah, shout out my boy DJ Boo. I just talked to Boo earlier today. Nah, Charlie Boy and Tyke, I be telling people that shit is a classic, bro. Greatest hits?
Yeah. I jammed a lot of that. You know, Houston back in the day was a lot of mixtapes. So your favorite album might be a whole mixtape. Like I rode to that Southern's Finest that. Matter of fact, that Chameleon and Pow Wow, Get Your Mind Correct. That album, that was classic.
Yeah. That's, see, and that's one of the ones, that's not like a real, like an unsung, you know what I mean? People don't really bring that one up too much, man, but that was a classic, though.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, them probably be some of my top one, but I know that little Kiki, Don't Mess With Texas, like, I let that ride in that Fat Pack.
What about, because we can talk beats now, top five beats.
Top five beats? Man, beats got to go to Mr. Lee. Like, Mr. Lee beats is like the number one. So a lot of stuff he did for Slim Them, let's just say like Riding On Foes, J-Dog, that right there was
the first time I heard that beat, I thought that was the most incredible thing, bro.
Yeah, definitely. What else? Man, I forgot who was doing the Rec Shop beats. Platinum Soul, yeah. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, on ESG, when he was doing... the Buy the Car, Buy the House, Shining and Grinding.
That's Double D and all them, yeah.
Yeah, that was, I liked a lot of that production. And who else? That was pretty much, really, I listened to a lot of Mr. Lee. Like, Mr. Lee was
that's
style.
Your number
like,
one, Mr. Lee.
That's what my, like, a lot of people look up to Dr. Dre and all that. Like, as far as Mr. Lee, that's who I look up to as far as production. Manny Fresh on the outside, but as far as H-Town, like, I was definitely.
Mr. Lee, what's top five Mr. Lee beats?
Give Me Some of That Good Old Love from Servant Collect 2. What's another one he did?
But Too Deep over there, like, yeah, man, that's one.
Yeah. That Thug From Around the Way was a big one. What else? J-Dog, The Ride No Foes, definitely. What other one? What else Lee got that I like a lot? I can't really just think. It's so many. Really, a lot of stuff that he did off that Servant Collect 2. That was a lot of the good production on that.
Yeah, that's what it is, man. Well, shit, man, you got anything else before we get up out of here, though?
Man, make sure they go check out this album.
It's available everywhere.
On all streaming platforms, man. We got the video coming out with J-Dog. I got the next single I got called Had Nothing. That's featuring Rizzo, J-Stead. No, Rizzo.
I fuck with that record.
Junebug. Yeah.
I fuck with that record. Yeah.
Rizzo, Junebug, Dirty Cash, Kanika, and Rich Ass Dave. So, yeah, that right there is going to be my next main single that I'm going to be servicing around all the DJs.
Yeah, I fuck with that joint, yeah. I was just playing it back there. I fuck with that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people like that, but that changes. That right there is going to be one of the top records, too. I'm definitely going to do a real life live video to that one.
Yeah.
Marcus showed out on there.
Yeah, that's what it is. Oh, you want to get social media and all that, man?
Hit me up at DJ Young Sam 713. That's the Instagram. DJYoungSam.com is where you find everything. Yeah, you can buy beats. You can book a studio time, get videos, all that.
All right, that's what it is. It's the Donnie Houston Podcast, DJ Young Sam. Hey, man, we out.
Donnie Houston.